Okay. So right after the fast here yesterday, Henry WhatsApped me saying, what's the topic and do you have a Makoro sheet? But I couldn't prepare yesterday. But I thought, I looked at the Parsha and I thought I want to talk about Shema. I've been doing a bunch of things relating to davening and Shema, and that seems like a really good topic to talk about. But then I accidentally started working on the wrong mitzvah. And you'll understand what I mean in a second. It turns out that Shema and what it is and what it represents is not 100% clear. And in fact, we're going to do a mitzvah today from this week's parsha, the source of which is the pasuk Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But it's not the mitzvah of Shema. In fact, if you look in a Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam, the mitzvah we're going to do is generally called Yichud Hashem, or the oneness or the unity of God. The Rambam separately has a mitzvah, mitzvah number 10, of Kriyat Shema Boker Va'erev, of saying Shema morning and night. So it's obvious that the mitzvah that we're not going to do, that we're doing today, even though it's called Yichud Hashem, and it's very, very similar to Shema, it's different than Shema. And what I want to work on is, how is it different than Shema on the one hand, and how is it different than a much more famous mitzvah, which is the mitzvah that precedes it, the only mitzvah that precedes it in the Rambam. Again, this is mitzvah number two in the Rambam. Mitzvah number one in the Rambam is belief in God. You have to shut it off or put on a headphone. Okay, is belief in God. So the question is, what does it mean? And what I really want to talk about is, what does it mean, mitzvah number one, believe in God? Mitzvah number two, belief in the unity of God, belief in the uniqueness of God. Wouldn't those two essentially be the same mitzvah? I believe in God, and I believe that God is unique. Okay, that's the issue I want to spend most of our time on. But there's also two related questions that come up in a range of mitzvahs. Maybe we'll talk about them today, maybe we won't. The first is it really a mitzvah to believe, or is there a better word to use? And by a better word, I think of the word knowledge. The Rambam seems in some places to use the word laha'amin, which we would translate as to believe, and in other places to use the word lada'at, which we would translate as to know. And so it's an interesting issue, I think, to try to sort out what the Rambam really believes. Is it possible that we could reach a level of knowledge with respect to God's existence? Does the Rambam really demand that of us? That's topic number two. Topic number three, which maybe we'll talk about, maybe we won't, is this really a mitzvah at all? It's well known that the Bahag, who wrote a famous Sefer HaMitzvos, the only really famous Sefer HaMitzvos that preceded the Rambam's, the Bahag doesn't count the mitzvah of belief in God. He also doesn't count the mitzvah of belief in the uniqueness of God, right? That's a major machlokas, right? The Rambam says, how could you not count that mitzvah? There's a whole philosophic debate. Maybe we'll talk about that as well. Okay, all that's by way of introduction, but let's start at the beginning. If you look at the pasuk in this week's parsha, oh, and there it is, right? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I gotta say, I don't see a mitzvah. I see a foundational statement of Judaism, right? It's really, really important for us to declare, or for us to, that there's one God, and that one God is echad, is singular. But you don't really, at least I don't, it's not like when you read the pasuk, and I understand how important the pasuk is. But it's not like I see a command. I don't really see a verb there that we're obligated, right? It's a statement. In fact, one of the explanations of the pasuk is that this is what, when Yaakov Avinu at the end of Vayechi had all his sons around his bed, and he was nervous that maybe not all of them believe in God. And they answered, you know, Shema Yisrael Avinu, our father Yisrael, that was his name, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And then he responded by saying, Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuto Olam Vaed. So that's one of the understandings, the historical understandings of the Pasuk. So it's hard to see a mitzvah there. And yet, the Rambam has it. Okay, source number two, Mitzvat Asei Bet. And to be clear, at some point, it's not 100% clear the order of the Sefer HaMitzvos in the Rambam, but it's clear that the first bunch are there because they're foundational, right? This is not number two just by chance. This is number two because it's really, really important. What is mitzvah number two, says the Rambam? V'hamitzvah hashnia hi hatzivui shetzivanu be'emunat hayichud. I highlighted the word emunat because it's belief, right? We are commanded to believe in God's, you know, oneness, in God's singularity. V'hu she'na'amin, and the mitzvah is that we believe, ki po'el ha-mitziyut v'sibato ha-rishona echad, that the person who brought the being, that brought everything into existence, the first cause, the primary mover, is Echad. V'hu amaro yitala. The Ram says the source for this mitzvah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Now, what does that mean? So the Ram explains. Rotzim b'zeh ha-ma'amar. He quoted a bunch of Ma'amari Chazal that I didn't bring down. There wasn't room. But he says the point is to believe. Shehu amnam hotziyanu min ha'avdut. God took us out of Egypt from slavery. Va'asa imanu ma'she asa min ha'chesed v'hatov. And he did all these good things to us. Why? Al minat shena'amin ha'yichud ki anachnu chayavim b'zeh. He did all these things so that we will believe in God's uniqueness, because that's a mitzvah. That's what we're obligated to do. Veharbe sheyomru mitzvat yichud. And many people refer to this as the mitzvah of yichud, the mitzvah of uniqueness, of the singularity, of the unity of God. Okay? That's the mitzvah. It's not as if we fully understand, but somehow the mitzvah is that God did all these things for us so that we would believe that God is unique. Now, there's a second part to this mitzvah. And he says, V'yikru'u gam kein zota mitzvah malchut. Kingship. Ki heim yomru, kidei lekabel alav ol malchut shamayim. That we're supposed to accept upon ourselves the kingship of God, rotzim lomar, lahodot biyichud ulehaamino. Right? Many times you hear the mitzvah of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim. Here the Rambam is saying that it could be the way you do the mitzvah of Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, of accepting the yoke of God, is via saying the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema. But saying the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema is not the mitzvah. It's believing it. It's accepting it upon ourselves. Okay, so again, just to review, the Rambam says there is a unique mitzvah of belief. I guess I shouldn't have said it that way. A belief in the uniqueness of God. Okay, often it's referred to as Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim, but whatever it is, it's a belief that there is one and only one God. Now, again, what's strange is, wouldn't this be included in the next source? Source number three is the first mitzvat asay in the Sefer HaMitzvot of the Rambam, where he says, HaMitzvah HaRishona, Hi HaTzivui Ashet Tzivanu LeHa'amin HaElokut. The first mitzvah is to believe in God. V'hu SheNa'amin, SheYesham Ila V'Siba. There is a first cause, Hu Po'el L'Chol HaNimtzaot. right? He is the thing that makes everything else exist. V'hu amaro yitbarach anochi Hashem Elokecha. So we're not stuck, but it's still something we have to sort out. On the one hand, the Rambam says the first mitzvah in the Torah is the first of the Aseret Hadibrot, and that is the belief in God. And that's great. But then what's the second mitzvah? Well, the second mitzvah is the belief in the uniqueness of God. Now, I would suggest that I would have always thought, I suppose, had I not really focused on this, that belief in God contains within it uniqueness. Right? What would it mean to believe in God? Oh, but there's 20 other gods. Wouldn't that undermine the whole idea of belief in God? It would mean that I believe in something, but that thing that I believe in is not God. And it's not as if the Rambam didn't know what he was doing. It's not like we caught the Rambam in some kind of inconsistency. Obviously, he put these two mitzvahs in because he believed that they were different. Okay, everybody with me? So our primary goal is to try to sort out what's the difference between belief in God, mitzvah number one, and belief in the uniqueness of God, mitzvah number two. So the Sefer Achinuch, who basically piggybacked off the Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot, right? He obviously wrote his own Sefer, but he used the Rambam's count. He changed the order, but he used the count. And usually, you know, the first paragraph in the Sefer Achinuch is a rewriting of what the Rambam wrote in the Sefer HaMitzvot. But often you can see an expansion or a difference in how the Chinuch wrote it. So here it goes. Source number four. The Chinuch says, "Shenitztavinu leha'amin ki Hashem yitbarach hu ha'poel kol ha'mitziyut Adon Hakol." Okay, we've seen that, and now he says, "Echad b'li shum shituf." He is one, b'li shum shituf. So you know, a shutaf in Hebrew is a partner. Shituf is understood to mean, you know, some kind of joint leadership of the world. So the Chinuch says, yeah, it's exactly what you would imagine, but he says it more clearly. The first mitzvah is to believe in God, right? But you have to believe that God, who's the first cause and the prime mover and without whom nothing else would exist, he does not have any partners, whatever that means. Shenemar, Shema Yisrael, the proof text is Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Echad doesn't mean, you know, the first of, it means unique, right? There is no second. If you're Echad, it's not like there's Echad, Shtayim, Shalosh, there's just Echad, you're unique. V'zo mitzvat asehi, eina hagada, says the Chinuch in answer to our question. This is an absolute mitzvah asay. It's not just a statement in the Torah. What does it mean? Aval, piresh. Here's what it means. Shema. Shema Yisrael. The word Shema is a command, he says. Kilomar, kabel mimenu davar zeh vidaehu v'ha'amin bo. Right? Shema Yisrael. We're looking for a verb that commands us. Says the Chinuch, the verb is the word Shema. It doesn't mean hear, you know, hear, O Israel. It means accept. It means believe. It means understand, right? The Chinuch puts in both words, davar zeh vidaehu, know it, from the word dat, or knowledge, v'ha'amein bo, and believe it. Ki Hashem shehu Elokeinu, the God who is our God, echadhu, is unique. Okay? So we have, you know, the first sort of outline of an answer, and that is there's a mitzvah to believe in God. There's a separate mitzvah to believe that God is unique, independent, has no partners, has no helpers. Okay, now again, why this is so critical as a mitzvah, I'm not sure we fully explained yet. But the broad outline we explained. We now know the difference, right? And we also understand what the pasuk means. Shema Yisrael, according to the Chinuch, within the Rambam, is a command. Not hear, O Israel, but accept, believe, understand. Okay? And that becomes a mitzvat aseh. Now, let's look, the Rambam naturally, you know, after counting them as mitzvot in the Sefer HaMitzvot, so then he wrote the Yad HaChazakah, right, what we think of as the Rambam, the Mishnah Torah, and in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, in the first parak, he starts with the mitzvah. But there, I'll just point out, the Rambam doesn't talk about belief, the Rambam talks about knowledge. We'll leave that as an aside now, because first we have to figure out what a Shita is, but maybe we'll come back to that. So first, the Rambam, in talking about the first mitzvah, belief in God, says in source number 5, Perek Aleph Halacha Vav of Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, V'yidiyat davar zeh, again, not the belief, but the knowledge that there's a God is a mitzvat aseh, Shene'emar Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Okay, and then he says, and if you v'chol ha'ma'aleh al da'ato sheyesh Hashem Elokecha acher chutz mizeh, over below ta'aseh, Shene'emar lo yiyeh l'cho Elohim acherim al panai. Now that sounds like us. The Rambam says, you have to believe in God, or you have to know that there's a God, and if you entertain the possibility that there are additional gods, that's a lo ta'aseh of lo yiyeh l'cho Elohim acherim al panai. And not only that, v'kofer ba'ikar shezehu ha'ikar ha'gadol she'akol talui bo. It's not just that you're in violation of the lo ta'aseh of lo yiyeh l'cho Elohim acherim al panai, but you're also a kofer. You're also a denier of God, because the belief in the uniqueness of God is an ikar gadol. It's a foundational principle in Judaism. And if you don't believe that, you know, the other stuff doesn't matter. And now the Rambam explains, and it's really very clear and very beautiful. The Rambam says, this is our mitzvah in the expanded description of the Rambam. He says, Eloka ze echad hu ve'eino shnayim v'lo yeter al shnayim. This God, the one God, is unique. He's not two, he's not more than two, Ela Echad, he's one. But he's not just one. He's one She'ein ki yichudo echad min ha'achadim ha'nimtza'im ba'olam. He says he's one, and his uniqueness is unlike the uniqueness of anybody else. Meaning, when we say, you know, this guy is the smartest guy in the world, it means he's like everybody else, but more, right? He's the strongest man in the world. He's like everybody else, but he's better than them. Says the Rambam, that's not God. Lo echad kemin shehu kolel achadim harbe. He's not one of a group. There's a lot of people in the group. He's the best. He's unique within that group. Says the Rambam, no, you can't think that. Velo echad kiguf shehu nechlak lemachlakat velikzavot. He says he's also not a one who can be divided in any way. And here it comes. Ela yichud she'ein yichud acher kimoto ba'olam. He is unique in a way that nobody else or nothing else in the world is unique in that way. There's nothing else to compare him to. Ilu hayu elokot elohot harbei. Hayu gufinu gviot. He said, the Rambam has an interesting idea. He says, if there were more than one God, then they would have to have some physical presence. Mipnei she'ein hanimnim hashavim b'mitziutam nifradim ze mize ela b'moraim sheyiru b'gufot b'hagviot. You could argue, but the Rambam says, whenever you're part of a group, there has to be some expression of that group physically. More than that, says the Rambam, v'ilu haya hayotzer gufu gvia, and if that were true about God, and God somehow had physical properties, haya lokates v'tachlit, she'i efshar lihiyot guf she'in lokates. The Rambam says, by definition, if you have physical properties, you can't be eternal. V'chol sheyesh legufo keitz v'tachlit, and if you're not eternal, yesh lekocho keitz v'sof, then you're not omnipotent. Because if you have a physical entity, there has to be an expiration date, and there has to be something that the physical entity can't do. V'lokeinu baruch shemo, but our God, ho'il v'kocho ein lokeitz, Ve'eno posek sharei ha-galgal sovev tamid, says the Rambam, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no beginning and end and has no limitation because the earth rotates continuously. Ein kocho ka'akuf, so says the Rambam, his strength is not a physical strength. Ve'ho'il ve'eno guf, lo yer'u lo ma'ora'ot ha-gufot, and because he's not physical, so nothing can be, no physical description can be given to him. Therefore, he can only be unique. Okay? What the, and I'll just finish. And knowledge of that, knowledge of God's uniqueness, is a mitzvah asay, learned from our pasuk of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What's going on? The Rambam is describing, you know, it's really classic Rambam. Rambam is describing that basically, you know, the Rambam was the one who started this whole idea that God can't be described physically. Any description of God physically in the Torah is a metaphor. And to do it is a violation of one of the Rambam's 13 principles, right? She'ein lo guf. And no one could describe the Rambam in any kind of physical, no one could describe God in any kind of physical terms. For the Rambam, that's critical to the belief in God. The definition of God is a being who's so unique that he does not share properties with any other being we've ever come across or will ever come across. And so we understand, at least philosophically, why this is so important to the Rambam, because it's at the core of his definition of God. Now, I'm still a little bothered by the fact that the Rambam could have folded it into the first mitzvah, right? He could have said there's a mitzvah to believe in a God who is unique in all the ways that the Rambam describes. But okay, you know, that's a technicality. At least I understand that it's critical to the Rambam that the God who we believe in be unique in the sense that the Rambam describes, as not sharing any physical characteristics, as not sharing anything with anybody else. Of course, for the Rambam, again, you could argue with it, but the Rambam says if you have any physical characteristic, you cannot, by definition, be eternal. And if you're not eternal, there would have to be some limit to your power. So for the Rambam, Yichud Hashem, the uniqueness of God, is critical to the whole enterprise of the belief in God. Okay, we'll come back to this point, but I think, you know, so far we've laid out a foundation to understand what's going on in the Rambam. Now, I just want to come back to something I mentioned at the beginning. It's interesting, and there's a lot of discussion on this. We don't have the time to really, you know, follow it through, but just to put it out there. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam keeps using the word laha'amin or emunah, right? We have to believe. See where the cursor is? Be'emunat ha'yichud hu shena'amin, right? Lahodot b'yichud u laha'amino, to believe. The first mitzvah is tzivu ha'she tzivanu laha'amin ha'elokot, to believe in God, okay? That's the Rambam over and over again in the Sefer HaMitzvot. However, the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka doesn't use the word emunah. He uses the word yidiyah. Look in source number 5. There are other places I just brought too. The Rambam says about belief in God. It's not belief. V'yidiyat davar zeh mitzvat aseh. Knowledge of this, knowledge of God, is a mitzvat aseh. V'yidiyat end of halacha zayin. V'yidiyat davar zeh mitzvat aseh. Right? Knowledge of the uniqueness of God is a mitzvah aseh. So there's a lot of discussion about whether it's a stira in the Rambam that in one place he uses the word emunah laha'amin, and in another place he uses the word yidiya, knowledge. So I'll just put a theory out there that I'm sure is not mine. I must have read it someplace. But, well, a lot of people like to say a technical answer is, of course, the Rambam didn't write the Sefer HaMitzvot in Hebrew, right? It's translated from Arabic. So people want to say that it's not a precise translation of the word that the Rambam uses in Arabic. But I've spoken to people, I've read up, yes and no. First of all, I think we all understand, we don't think in these terms, that belief and knowledge exist on a spectrum. Okay, so let's say, you know, when you're a little kid, right, you believe in the tooth fairy. So on the spectrum of knowledge, with zero being, you know, I believe with no proof, and 100 being absolute knowledge. So I don't know, if you believe in the tooth fairy, you're at 10. Or if you believe in Santa Claus, you're at 2. Meaning there's no evidence for this, but you want it to be true, and so you believe in it, right? But then you move forward on the spectrum from 10 to bigger numbers. There are things that we say we believe in, but they're much closer to being absolute knowledge, right? I believe that when I come home from shul tonight, you know, there'll be challahs on the table will be set, and we'll have a meal. Now, I believe that because it's happened hundreds of times in a row. If you pressed me, I don't know, could I know it absolutely? I suppose there's a chance it wouldn't happen, but those are things that we would use the word da'at about, whereas other things we would use the word emunah, right? As you move, you know, from 10, I don't know, at some point you cross a line, you get to 90, okay? Now I really know it to be true. I really know that tonight I'm going to have a Shabbos meal because I have rational proof and basis and history, you know, to think that that's the case. And I assume that this is true for the Rambam Shita. Belief and knowledge, they're not inconsistent, right? They exist on a spectrum. And, you know, sometimes you believe, but sometimes you have an experience, and after the experience, you move from belief to knowledge. But it ping-pongs back and forth. And it could be that it's a problem of language, not of ideas. Meaning, we don't have a word that strikes the exact balance between belief and knowledge. And it could be that the Rambam used an Arabic word that kind of falls between belief and knowledge. Okay, and then in the Hebrew, it became laha'amin, but it's much more subtle than that. And I think, maybe we'll have time to come back to this, but I think that, you know, this is how we lead our lives, between a level of belief that moves much, much closer to knowledge from time to time, but sometimes it moves backwards, and sometimes we're stuck in belief. But I guess the Rambam's saying the goal is knowledge. Now, the Rambam must know that other than Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, who else, Moshe Rabbeinu, panim al panim, dibei Hashem al Moshe, who else has that experience? So I assume when the Rambam says knowledge, you know, he means something less than 100%, right? You know, I know that I'm holding my watch right now. I know this 100% because I feel it and I see it and it has a time, okay? But there are things that I know with much less certainty. And again, I think this is a much bigger philosophic point, but the spectrum on which belief and knowledge live is the explanation between the Rambam sometimes explaining that the mitzvah is to believe in God, and the Rambam sometimes explaining that the mitzvah is to know that God exists. Okay, let's go back to some of the halachic discussion and ask ourselves a fundamental question. And that is, how serious is the prohibition, or how serious is the mitzvah of belief in the uniqueness of God? So what do I mean by that? So I was under some pressure. I got an email from Manny Adler making sure that I've been quoting Minchas Chinuch. So the Minchas Chinuch says as follows, on our mitzvah. Source number 8. Va'over al zeh Mivatel aseh. Okay, if you violate belief in the uniqueness of God, you're in violation of a mitzvah aseh. Now he says, Vigam lo taseh. Which lo taseh are you in violation of? Lo yihye lecha Elohim acherim al panai. If you don't believe that God is unique, you're also in violation of the second of the Aseret HaDibrot. Kach mevuah baRambam. This is how he reads the Rambam Sham. Vihine kol ba'ei olam mitzuvim al zeh. He says, therefore, it's not just Jews, Gentiles as well. Dibnei Noach gam kein mitzuveh al avodah zarah. Right? If belief in a God that's not unique is a violation, constitutes avodah zarah, then Gentiles are also in violation. Ach ksiv shema Yisrael, Hashem lekeinu Hashem echad, hainu, di Yisrael mikayem mitzvat aseh, velo b'nei Noach. He says it's a technicality. Gentiles are in violation of lo yelecha elohim achrim al panai, and they are, it constitutes avodah zarah if the God they believe in is not unique. But the mitzvat aseh only applies to Jews. Why? Beratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lizakot et Yisrael, ulefikach hirba lahem Torah u'mitzvot. Right? We all know the line. Yeah, it doesn't add anything. We would have been prohibited from believing in multiple gods because that's avodah zarah. But says the Minchas Chinuch, God gave us a gift. When we believe in only the one unique God, we also get credit for having done a mitzvah aseh. But at core, the Minchas Chinuch says, belief in a God who's not unique constitutes avodah zarah and would be prohibited for Gentiles.
Ellie, this is Joel. How do you reconcile that with the concept that we're created in God's image? It's a problem. So if you're saying that God isn't, we can't have a physical manifestation, then how do we know that we are in his image if he has no image?
Oh, because we're not in his image because I have blue eyes and God has blue eyes. We're in his image because God gave us his character traits, because we're merciful and we're just and we're kind and we can make decisions. We're not godlike because we look like him. Right, we're godlike because he gave us character traits through which he exists, whatever that means. Okay, now we get to a really, really interesting halacha lemaisa area, which maybe some of you were thinking about already, but it comes up in Tosos. I did the Minchas Chinuch first, even though he came much later, just to get his shita out of the way. But Tosos is really a critical element in the whole discussion of, and I'll put it on the table now, whether Christianity is avodah zarah or not. Says Tosus in Sanhedrin, Samach Gimel Amud Beis, source number 9. Asur, the Gemara says, Asur la'adam she'yaseh shutafut. V'rabbeinu tam omer, mutar lekabel heimenu hashvua. Right, the Gemara talked about whether you can do business with non-Jews, and Rabbeinu tam, and the problem being that he may swear, and if you cause him to take a shvua, and he takes a shvua in the name of avodah zarah, then you will have caused him to do avodah zarah. Says Rabbeinu Tam. Va'af al pi shema shemazkirini mahem. Va'af pi shema shemazkirini mahem shem shamayim. When the Gentile says, "I swear in the name of God," v'kavanatam ledavar acher, and it means something other than our God, mikol makom ein ze shem avodat kochavim. Why? Gam da'atam la'oseh shamayim. He says, no, even other religions, when they swear to God, the God they have in mind is the God who made heaven and earth. What's the problem? V'af al pi shem mishatfin shem shamayim v'davar acher. The problem isn't that they have a different God. It's that, I'll say it in our terms, they have a trinity, right? They swear to God and his Son and the Holy Ghost or whatever it is. So isn't that avodah zarah? So says Tosus, no. Lo ashkechan de asur ligrom la acharim lishatef. We're not prohibited from causing other people to do shituf. Oh, let's call shituf by what we really call it, you know, to believe in the Trinity. Vilifne iver leka dibne noach lo huzur al kach. And we are not in violation. You might say, wait, aren't we in violation of lifne iver lo titein michshol? Because we're making this guy take a shvua, and he's swearing in the name of God and God's two helpers. So says Tosus, no, because it's not prohibited for him to believe that God has helpers. Because the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, according to Tosfos, only applies to Jews. So we're prohibited min haTorah to believe in Shituf, to believe in the Trinity, or to believe that God has assistance. But says Tosus, Goyim are not. And this is how the Ramah paskins. And this is a huge kula for us, because essentially, if Shituf, if God having partners only applies to Jews, then Christians are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Because essentially, they believe in God. They just believe that there are other powers who work with God, you know, who have to also be worshipped. Without getting into technicalities, that would be an Isser D'oraisa for us, based on the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem, which we're doing now, and its sister prohibition, Lo Yihye Lecha Elohim Achrim Al Panai. But for Gentiles, that does not constitute Avodah Zarah, and they're allowed to believe. I mean, it's not something to celebrate, it's a problem. But they're allowed to believe, you know, in God having assistance, what we might call the Trinity. Okay, this goes obviously to a huge machlokas harishonim about whether Christianity is Avodah Zarah, whether Islam is Avodah Zarah, but the Chachmei Ashkenaz, you know, led by the, by certainly the Balei HaTosfos, they were of the belief that Christianity is prohibited for us, of course, but not for Christians, not for Gentiles. Okay, now, let's come back to the question we started with in terms of why the Rambam felt this great need to separate out the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. So we may just have answered it. The answer may be as simple as, because it's not part of belief in God, because belief in God is a commandment for all human beings. It's one of the six mitzvahs b'nei Noach. But Yichud Hashem is not. Okay? But there's another reason to wonder how the Rambam separates and why. Look at source number 10. Here's the Rambam introducing the halachos of Geirus in the 14th parak of Hilchos Yisurei Biyah. And the Rambam, I just showed you the beginning, the Rambam starts, Ketzad mekablin geirei hatzedek. How do we accept righteous Gentiles? So the Rambam has a process, and he says in Halacha Bet, Umodi'in oto ikre hadat. And you have to tell the Gentile the foundational principles of Judaism. And here he goes, Shehu yichud Hashem, the uniqueness of God, the isur akum, and Avodah Zarah, right? So it's another place where people say, wait, why does the Rambam express them as two different ideas? Why does the Rambam express one, Yichud Hashem, there's the uniqueness of God, and second, there's something called Avodah Zarah? Well, if they're kind of the same thing, why are they expressed differently? And here, I think it's a really interesting idea. I don't know if I'm completely sold on it or if you'll be also. But Achronim, there's a sefer called the Mitzvah HaMelech that I use a lot because he makes you sound much smarter than you are. And he suggests, quoting a lot of people, he suggests as follows, that there's two types of shituf. There's two types of, you know, trinities, let's say. And he says only one of them is really prohibited. The first type is that there's God and other gods who are his equal. So say, you know, in this approach, that's an absolute Issur D'oraisa for Jews and for Gentiles as well. But he says there's another type of shituf, and that's not where God has partners, but where God has assistants. It's understood that God is at the top. Underneath God, there are, you know, God-like entities, but they're not equal to God. And so he says, therefore, the Rambam counts them separately. Because for Jews, that's prohibited, right? God cannot even have any assistance. But for Gentiles, it's not prohibited. And therefore, the Rambam has to count them as two separate mitzvos, because they're two separate ideas. You could believe in God and be a religious person, but believe that God has assistance. Says the Rambam, we're not allowed to believe that. The belief in God for us cannot be separated from the belief in the uniqueness of God. And the idea that God would have assistance undermines the uniqueness of God and undermines our belief in God. And for the Rambam, that's a no-no. And therefore, he has to separate out the mitzvos, and he has to beat us over the head with this idea that there can't be anybody who shares, I don't want Joel to jump on me, who shares qualities, you know, who is godlike in the same way that God is.
Ellie, according to that, how will you explain, for example, the various midrashim where it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted with the Malachim whether to create man, whether to give him Matan Torah? He sends out Malachim to do jobs.
Yeah, don't know. You would have to say, according to the Rambam, that they don't have independent decision-making power. And it's definitely the case that the majority opinion in Chazal, or that Malachim do exactly what God tells them to do. So much so that Malachim are described, you know, like in finance, they're called special purpose vehicles, right? We have this idea that a Malach can only do one task at a time. Why? Because if he could do more than one task, it would have to give him some sense of independence and some ability to make decisions. And Chazal were nervous about that. So yeah, you know, there's more to talk about there, but I think the basic answer is Malachim do the jobs that God gives them to do. Okay?
What about
I want to go quickly to why I think the Rambam is borderline obsessed with Yichud Hashem. I don't mean that in a bad way, of course, but the Rambam, there's an emphasis on Yichud Hashem in the Rambam that I would have thought, and most of us would think, is, you know, is a detail in the belief of God. And I think this comes to the Rambam's view of the history of religion. And it also comes to something that's so different in our world than in the world that used to exist. But let's go to source number 11. I'll try to do this quickly. This is Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. It's a fantastic perek in that basically it's a concise history of Avodah Zarah in this world. And it starts with the premise that how could it be that before the Mabul, people worshipped Avodah Zarah? I think the Rambam's unstated question is, didn't Adam HaRishon tell people, hey, I know that God exists, I know he created me, I was the first person, I spoke to him, how could it be? So the Rambam explains as follows in source number 11. Bimei Enosh, Adam's grandson, Ta'u B'nei HaAdam Ta'ut Gadol. The people of the world made a terrible mistake. V'nivara atzat chachmei oto hador v'enosh atzmo min hatoim haya v'zo haita ta'utam. What was their mistake? Amru, they said as follows. Ho'il v'ha elokim barak kochavim elu v'galgalim lanhiget ha'olam. Of course we know this God. We believe in the one God. But God made the sun and the moon and planets, and he gave them authority. U'netanam ba'amaron, he put them above us. V'chalak lohem kavod, and he gave them honor. V'heim shamashim hamishamshim lefanav, and they serve God. Well then, re'uyim heim l'shabcham u'lefa'aram v'lachlok lohem kavod. He says the Rambam, they didn't start out worshiping Avodah Zarah. Of course not. They knew there was a God. I'll say it in my words. But it's hard to see God. It's hard to worship God. But if you pick out God's creations, the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, right, who do have some impact over tides and over the weather and things like that. So they said, "V'zeu ritzon hakel baruch hu ligadel chabed mi shegidalo uchvado." Right? God would want us to honor the things that he created. Just like a king wants you to honor, you know, his servants and his officers, that's how we'll honor God. Kevan she'ala davar ze al libam hitchilu livnot lekochavim hayicholot ulakriv lahem karbanot lushabcha mul farah midvarim. Okay, so people started not worshiping the sun and the moon, God forbid, but worshiping them as representatives of God. Kidei lahasig ritzon haborei b'datam hara. They were wrong, but they thought they were doing God's will. V'zeh haya ikar avodat kochavim. That's how Avodah Zarah started. B'kach hayu omrim avdei hayiduim ikara, lo shehein omrim she'ein sham eloka, elo kochav zeh. They're not saying they're worshiping the star. They're worshiping the star as a representative of God. And then it happened. Halacha bet. Va'achar she'orchu hayamim. As time passed, amdu bibnei adam nevi'ei sheker. Naturally, false prophets showed up. Va'amru she'alkel tzivava amai lohem ivdu kochav ploni. O kol ha'kochavim. Right? Then people said, no. We're really supposed to be worshiping the sun and the moon and the stars independently because God gave them independent power. V'kevan she'alkel hayamim nishtakach Hashem ha'nichbad v'anara. Right? What happened was, after a while, people forgot about God. Right? They first started worshiping these assistants of God as a way to worship God, because it's easier to worship something you can see and feel and hear and touch, whatever it is, than you know, some hidden God. And then over time, with Nevi'ei Sheker and what have you, they lost the ability, they forgot all about God, and they started worshiping these things as if these things should be worshiped independently. Says the Rambam, that's how Avodah Zarah came to be. Just because it's nice, then Halacha Gimel. Kevan shenigmal eitan zeh hitchil, right, this is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu walking around saying, it doesn't make sense to worship these other beings. And by the way, the Rambam says, "Vu ovedi mahem." Avraham Avinu did worship Avodah Zarah when he was younger. The whole world did, but he couldn't believe it. And as he got older, he thought, and he came, and on his own, he came to this idea that there's one God who ben arba'im shana hikir Avraham et boro. Okay, he got there eventually. So what I want to suggest is the Rambam's theory of Avodah Zarah is probably why the Rambam felt it was so important to emphasize Yichud Hashem. Because the second you start allowing for the possibility that there's some other entity who works with God, who partners with God, right? This idea of Shituf, that God has helpers who act independently, says the Rambam, that's how Avodah Zarah came about in the first place. And so belief in God won't be enough to prevent us from worshiping Avodah Zarah if it were not for the fact, you know, belief in God won't be enough unless we never allow ourselves to worship something else or to impute, you know, I don't know, God-like powers to something else. And you think about it, you know, let's admit the truth. We don't understand much about Avodah Zarah, right? I've often thought to myself, you know, I have like a plan. La'achar me'ev esrim, you know, when I have to explain all the bad things that I did, I'm going to say, yeah, but I never worshipped Avodah Zarah. And without bragging, I think it's probably true for me. Of course, I think it's probably true for everybody here. It's not that, but we never wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. Not a single one of us ever had a desire to worship Avodah Zarah. And that's good and bad, right? The Gemara will say that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was destroyed. But if any one of us, it's not just if I passed a tree, I would think it's insane to bow down to the tree. If I saw somebody worshiping a tree, I would think he's insane. Now, how could it be that during Bayis Rishon, right, smarter people than us worshiped Avodah Zarah? The answer is, we don't have a desire for a physical God. We've never come in contact with a physical God. We don't know what it's like to really be in God's presence. As a result, when we're distanced from God, we don't need something. It's like the Rambam won this fight, right? We know that God can't have any physical qualities, so there can't be anything on this earth that represents God. But for people who, I'll give you a bad example, as long as I'm bragging, okay? I have never used cocaine in my life. Okay, no, relax, okay? But here's the thing. I've never desired to use cocaine because I know I have an addictive personality. If I used it once, you know, that would be really bad. I'd be stuck. But I don't think I get any reward for having overcome, you know, the desire because I don't have it. If we had ever been in the Beit HaMikdash, I think being in the Beit HaMikdash creates the desire because you can feel God's presence. And all of a sudden, it doesn't seem insane to see God in the world. It seems religious to see God in the world. And therefore, the Rambam kind of, you know, took control of this issue because he said it leads to Avodah Zarah. And of course, it must be the case because, again, how is it that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Avodah Zarah? The people were morons? They had no idea how stupid it is to worship an idol? The answer is no. As the Rambam explains, they don't really worship an idol. They worship an idol, at least originally, as a physical representation of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu that all of us believe in. But the Rambam says in the end, that gets us into trouble. And so therefore the Rambam says that we're prohibited, that Yichud Hashem is as important as belief in Hashem. Because without Yichud Hashem, you're going to get in trouble. And even in the psukim in this week's parsha, just I could have brought more psukim, but right after Shema, just a little bit later, the Torah says as follows: He shomer lecha pen tishkachat Hashem asher utziacha me'eretz Yisrael beit avodim. Right? Be careful not to forget. Okecha tirav oto tavod v'shmo tishavea. Lo telchun acharei Elohim acherim me'elohei ha'amim asher svivoteichem. Wait, does the Torah really think that we're going to start worshiping Avodah Zarah the second we get into Israel? So I think the point is, no, not real Avodah Zarah, but if you get into a land where everybody has direct access to their God and we don't, right, we'll feel that we're lacking something and we'll look for a way to sort of introduce, you know, some kind of representation of God within our understanding of God. And that's where the problem comes from. Again, says the Rambam, that's how Avodah Zarah came into the world. Of course they knew there was only one God. They knew it better than we do, right? Enosh's grandfather was created by God. God spoke to him. Of course he knew. And yet, you know, we remake religion in our own image because we do it in the way that's most convenient for us. And again, I'm not here to advocate for Avodah Zarah, God forbid. But we should at least understand where it comes from. Right? It comes from a genuine desire. I think the Chet HaEgel is like this also. A genuine desire to feel close to God and to feel God's presence. And I think the Rambam, having read Tanakh, saw, and having read Chumash, whatever, the Rambam saw, Yichud Hashem can't be a detail. Yichud Hashem has to be the defining element of God. Because if you gave an inch on that issue, you're immediately in the land of Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam's understanding of how Avodah Zarah came to be, now worked in the world, I think is part of his understanding and his focus on the mitzvah of Yichud Hashem. Of course, al derech hadrush, we all have, you know, some kind of gods that we worship. Of course we worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but there's your boss and there's the person who, you know, who can help you move forward and there's a thing that you want. There are other things. I wouldn't claim that those are shituf, But, you know, if you expand philosophically your understanding of the prohibition of God having assistance and God having helpers, you know, it's not that great a jump to recognize the possibility that we in our lives have people who we see as being incredibly important, you know, maybe godlike on some level, and that's something to be careful of also. But for now, you know, it's clear that we started with the question of how Yichud Hashem, how does it exist as a separate mitzvah? And the answer is, once we're done with it, it has to be a separate mitzvah. Shituf, you know, the Trinity, things like that, maybe technically speaking, they're not prohibited for Gentiles, but they are the first step towards undermining the belief in the one God. And therefore, says the Rambam, the second mitzvah in the Torah, before anything else, is the belief in the uniqueness of God, unique in how you describe him, unique in his character traits, unique in every way that makes it difficult, naturally, it makes it difficult to know him. It increases our desire to sort of peek behind the curtain, but that leads to Avodah Zarah. All right, I hope we make some sense of this. Yashkar to everybody.
Thank you very much. Shabbat Shalom.
Thanks, Ellie.
Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Ellie.
Ellie.
Good job.
Thank you, Ellie.
There is a book called Julian by Gore Vidal that helped me understand Avodah Zarah. You might want to look at it.
My problem is not understanding, my lack of understanding of Avodah Zarah. I hate to brag.
No, the appeal of it.
All right. I feel like I got that. I'm working on the other side, but I really believe it's like it. You know, once you, like the Chet HaEgel, it's insane. They're at Maimon Har Sinai. They're standing at the mountain. What kind of idiots? You know, the answer is no.
No.
They just wanted something.
Right.
You know, and if we had more time, we could talk about what the Mishkan is, the Beis Hamikdash is, the Kelim. Okay, but, you know, it's a fascinating topic.
I also think Moshe was worried about peer pressure once they got in. I always explain it, if everybody else in the world is doing X and you are not, it is very hard to withstand it.
Yeah, I'm sure
that's what the Rambam explains as the justification for Karbanos.
Right.
The Rambam was not a